And we're going to be thinking a bit more about pray or prayer, the series that we've been following on prayer. So for those of you that weren't around at the beginning of the series, we're following this book here by a guy called Pete Gregg that some of you will know about from 24/7 Prayer. And we've been thinking about different aspects of the Lord's Prayer. And we've got to session 3, which is the A in pray. So we've looked at pause. We've looked at rejoicing, and now we're going to look at asking. So do you want to pop the screen on again there for just so this is the pray that we're looking at. Pause, rejoicing, ask and yield. And today we're going to be thinking about what it means to ask God in prayer. Asking God for help. Asking God for answers. Maybe asking for a miracle or forgiveness. Asking for a decision, maybe to heal another person, even asking for a car parking place. I wonder what type of asking you've been doing this week. And as I look across at each of us, I suspect all of those prayers for asking will have been said by one of us here in our different lives and the things that we face as we come before God. Because this type of prayer is something that a lot of us know about and we use, and it's probably the most frequent type of praying that we do. And it's not just us, but lots of people pray, those that come to church and those that don't, and very often it involves asking. So it's a really good thing to be thinking about what it means to ask God, what it looks like, why we do it, and how we can do it better. So that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. So I wonder what you think about when you think about asking, what you think it involves. I've got 3 visual pictures that sometimes I use, which I thought might be helpful to share with you. So the first idea you might be thinking about is this idea of reaching up and out to God, trying to connect with him, pleading maybe. It might be reaching out for other people, asking God to help them, bringing to God the issues that you care about, that sense of really reaching up, trying to connect with God about things that are important in your life. So that was the first image I thought about. Another one was the idea of praying. I don't know, of breathing when you're praying. I don't know if you have thought about this at all. And I find that this is quite a helpful visual image as well, when we're praying, when we're asking. The idea of breathing in the presence of God. And as we do that, examining our own thoughts and our motives, and then responding out, breathing out, releasing our response into the world around us. Because our prayers aren't just supposed to be something that we do privately, internally. They're supposed to be something that is released outwards into the world, asking God to get involved and to change things around us, because that's very often what we're doing when we're asking God to change things. So that's quite a helpful visual image, thinking about breathing. And then the final one I quite like as well, I don't know if you've ever thought about the idea of the fact that you might be standing in the gap for someone, speaking up, asking for help for someone else that's unable to do this. And this sort of visual imagery is quite biblical. I've been looking at the prophets recently, and it was good to hear some reading from Ezekiel this morning, because at one point God calls through Ezekiel out to someone. Is there anybody that can stand in the gap between God and the land and plead for God on behalf of the people and plead with the people on behalf of God? That's quite a visual imagery, isn't it? Moses did it. He stood in the gap between the people, asking God to be lenient with them when they'd really messed up. And you can see that in Exodus. And then finally in Hebrews, we read about Jesus who stands in the gap and prays for us. So that's a really good visual imagery as well, when we're asking what we might be doing. And you might hear other words that are around, things like petition, intercession, supplication, request, please, groans. In the Bible, it talks about groaning and not having the words to express what we want to say to God. These are all prayers that are involved in asking. So let's have a look at the Lord's Prayer again. We're going to read this time. There's two places that you can read the Lord's Prayer. Last time we read from Matthew, but this time Chris is going to read to us from Luke, which is another record of the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to invite Chris just to come and pray that, read that through for us as we talk about prayer. So it's Luke 11, 1 to 13. Thanks, Chris.
One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread, because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Thank you, Chris. It's really helpful, isn't it, to look at the Luke version of this passage. And just think about that wider context that the Lord's Prayer is in, because I found it really helpful when I was preparing, just reading those verses that come after that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. So we're just going to pause for a minute, and we're just going to think about in our groups. If you're in a smaller group, you might want to get into a bigger group. And we're just going to look at that passage very briefly, and also for those that are on Zoom as well. And I want you to have a think about, from the passage, what we can ask for, examples of what we can ask for from that passage. So grab a Bible if you want to in front of you, and turn to Luke 11, 1 to 13. And then just for a few minutes, have a look in there to see what we are allowed to ask for, because there's a lot that we can ask for from that passage. And then we'll quickly come back and share what people have found. Anybody got anything else? So we can ask for anything. We can ask for God to forgive our sins.
Holy Spirit.
Ask for the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's going to be really timely as we think about we're moving towards Pentecost next Sunday. And we'll talk about it a little bit further on in the message. But such a key thing that we can ask for God's Holy Spirit.
For guidance.
Yeah.
Help.
Yeah. That sense of calling out for help.
Forgiveness,
yep.
And the ability to forgive sin, to resist
sin. Yeah, something about resistance as well, to be able to stand firm and resist evil and sin. Yeah, I got that one as well. And forgiveness from others, yeah. For others, to forgive others, to help with that really, yeah. Anything else?
I think...
Yeah, something around giving you what you actually need. Yeah, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, absolutely. So something about what is essential and what we actually need. Yeah, not what we want, but what we need. Yeah.
There's also a big story that comes out, isn't there? That final part that says, actually, if you don't ask, you won't get it.
Yeah.
So saying, don't be frightened to ask.
Yeah.
If you don't ask, you don't get
it. Yeah.
If you don't go looking for it, you won't find it.
Yeah.
If you don't knock on that door, nobody's going to open the door.
Yeah. So there's a real confidence in that, in a way, isn't there?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we are invited to ask, which is a really big theme that runs through that passage, isn't
sometimes
it?
Sometimes some of us, I would imagine, feel guilty about asking for things.
Yeah.
And it's that question of, are we asking for what we want or are we asking for what we need?
Absolutely,
but
yeah.
But guilt comes into it.
Yes.
We mustn't feel guilty.
Yeah.
It's almost an element of God not forcing stuff on us, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
so something about, well, sometimes we feel guilty, sometimes not deserving it, yeah.
But this tells you that you are worthy of it.
Absolutely. I think I'm going to close this because I think you've given me all the answers. Fantastic. Brilliant. Fantastic. We're going to cover some of this now. It's really encouraging, actually, just hearing, as we look at the word together, just hearing it back from you. And you'll hear some of this as I'm starting to share some of my thoughts from the passage. So brilliant. Why do we need to ask? Doesn't God already know what we need? Why do we actually need to ask him? It's a good question, isn't it? What is it this about asking that Sean's talking about? Well, the answer is we do need to ask. Yes, God does want us to ask. And there's a good reason, I think, for that, because prayer is about relationship. It's about communication. It's about starting a conversation. And God wants us to ask. He wants us to speak to him. He wants us to know him. And I think this is a human instinctive thing that we have. At points of crisis, people will often call out for help. And people who believe and those who don't believe, it's a very human response. Because we're created for this relationship of speaking, communicating and asking our Heavenly Father. God didn't create us to be isolated islands, but he created us to be independent with himself and with others. We were made to relate to one another. And that means for us in human terms, we ask, we speak to one another, don't we? We give help to one another. And we're also created for that type of relationship with God, to ask him, to be dependent on him. A few years ago, when I was working in my NHS role, I was called down to the ward to do an urgent assessment for an older lady that had come from Nigeria. She was visiting family. And she'd had a stroke when she was in the country, so you can imagine how frightening that must have been. And I sat down and did the assessment with her, and I got to the end of it, and I did what I would normally do, and I just asked her if there was anything else I could do to help her. And you can imagine, most people, when you ask that question, there's a long list of things that come out, which is absolutely fine. That's the reason why I asked the question. But she turned to me and she looked at me, not knowing me, and she said, "You can pray for me." And that took me aback at that moment. It wasn't what I was expecting to hear from her. It made a really big impact on me because this woman had come from a situation where she had absolutely nothing, really. And she was in a country that she was a stranger in. And she could have asked me for lots of practical things, lots of practical help. Or additional resources, but she didn't. She asked me to pray for her. And she had a strong understanding of the need and the power for prayer. And I found it really humbling when I was speaking to her. And I was able to then have a conversation with her about that and assure her that I would be praying for her. But for her, it was natural as breathing in and out. It was the solution to her problem as she faced her issues and challenges. The first thing she thought about was to pray because prayer made a difference to her. And I found that really, really challenging. I walked out of the ward and I found it really humbling, actually, that she'd asked me to pray for her in that situation. And I think God has real joy when we come to him as his children and speak to him. And the other amazing thing about him encouraging us to ask him is that he's saying to us, "I want you to join in with me. I want you to be part of all that I'm doing here." It's a huge, immense privilege, isn't it, to pray and to join in with God and all that he's doing in the world. As we start to pray, we start to get involved and we start to be some of the answers to our own prayers as well. It's amazing to think that God chooses to be engaged with our world, and he wants us to participate in his plan And prayer is the way that we start to do that. And that's really exciting. Prayer should be exciting. It should be dynamic. It should be meaningful. So I hope I'm starting to encourage you to get excited about prayer, because sometimes it can be something we're so familiar with that we lose that excitement and that privilege and the dynamic nature of the fact that it is a conversation that starts to change things. And that's when prayer really starts to get exciting. So what does prayer look like for us as believers? Let's go on to the next slide, I think. Yeah. So first of all, it looks like asking the Father. Prayer is about relationship. It's about us coming before our Father in heaven who loves us and wants to give us good things. And that's what the passage tells us, isn't it? And it's a lovely picture of this idea of it being quite a simple thing. The openness, the wide-eyed wonder of a child coming before their father, asking for help, acceptance, expecting a reply. It's a lovely idea, a vision of coming into our Father's presence. And like lots of parents, I really enjoy my daughters when they come to ask me for something. And so does our Heavenly Father when we come before him. If you ask my daughters if I sometimes misunderstand or ignore their requests, I think the answer might be yes, Mum does do that sometimes. But my motivation mainly is that I want good things for them. I want the best for them. And I'm sure lots of us that have close friends or children, we want good things, don't we, for those that we love. And that's what the Bible says in the passage that we've just read. It just says that. That's what God wants for us. Christian prayer is intentional. It's not just nothing words that are sort of thrown into the air. It's about us actually coming into the presence of God who loves us and wants us to speak to him. And he wants to know the things that we need and what those things are. He's genuinely interested. When I was training over the last few years, many of you know that I've just finished my 6 years of doing my degree at Spurgeon's, and it feels really good to have got through the finishing line, and I finished this week, so praise God. That's really good. But you can imagine there was quite a few times when Alistair and I prayed quite hard during that time. We had a lot of change in our lives during those 6 years, and we've had to pray several times. We've just had to come on our knees and pray. And at one point, I was feeling quite under pressure. A lot of you will know that I was working to pay for my training, had a lot of studying. I was serving in the church. And I really felt I needed to reduce my hours, that I was getting to the point where I just was at full capacity. And so I prayed, and it felt a bit of a selfish prayer. Someone talked about that earlier, but I thought, you know, actually, I think this is what I really need to do. And so I prayed to God that he would somehow work it out for me to be able to reduce my hours and be asked for us to be meet our responsibilities financially as well. And then within 12 hours, someone had put an envelope through our door that had a substantial check in it that enabled me to reduce my hours at work. Sorry, I feel quite emotional about this, because it's a provision that was needed for us. And it was wonderful to hear that prayer answered by somebody who didn't know the prayer that I prayed, and yet had felt convinced that they needed to give us resources to enable me to make a choice, a decision. And that's the difference that prayer makes in our lives, and when God hears us and things that we need. That's prayer that's exciting. So, praying for the big and the small. Well, I've just given maybe quite a big example there of something that made a big difference. But God also wants to know about the details of our life, the everyday things that we do. God's interested in the minutiae of our life. The daily bread situations that are in the Lord's Prayer. If you read a bit further into Luke, Jesus tells us that God knows the number of hairs on our heads, they're numbered. Isn't that amazing, the detail of that? And when we lose hair, he also knows that too. Isn't it fantastic that God knows us that well? So isn't it wonderful that God knows Sean in such detail? Fantastic. One of the interesting things that Greg talks about in his book is the debate about whether you should pray for parking spaces. We laughed at the beginning about that. And have you ever prayed for a parking space? I have to admit, I've done that as well. And there's a bit of a discussion about whether we should do that. Is that a selfish thing to do? Is it something that we need to do? And actually, Pete Gregg comes down in the eventually after looking at the different sides of it, and he says, actually, I think it's okay, because you might get the parking space and you might not. But actually, it's about living your life of giving the small things over to God, keeping that constant connection with him with the small things as well. And he wrote something really profound that I found really helpful. He says, when you pray about the small things in life, you get to live with greater gratitude. And I just found that really helpful. When you pray about the small things in life, you get to live with greater gratitude, because it helps you to understand that you're dependent on God. And you can see him working in the small details of your life. I really enjoy visiting the Discovery group. I know there's lots of people here that are in Discovery. And it's great to have such a strong spiritual group in our church. But one of the things that really impresses me about your group, and I love it, is you often talk about prayer issues and you write them down. And I see you bringing your books out and writing down your prayers. And I know that you share God's answers to prayer. And that really encouraged me, actually, because it's not something I'm great at doing. But your example of actually writing down and keeping a diary of your prayers, and the fact that you can go back and see what God has done over several years that go back for your prayer life. And some of those are small things, aren't they, that you pray for? Some of them are big things, but some of them are small things. And that's just a really encouraging thing to see. This is what Paul says. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. The idea of giving God the big things and the small things. Okay, asking for the daily things that we need, our daily bread. I love this picture in the Lord's Prayer. I don't know if when you think about it when you pray this, but have you ever thought about why bread is in the Lord's Prayer? It's an interesting thing to think about, isn't it? Bread is a symbol of our daily, nutritional, every type of normal food that we eat. It's something that sustains us and helps us to live. So this is not about praying to be multimillionaires or having endless luxuries that we don't need. This is about praying for our everyday things that sustain us and keep us alive. For those of you that have children or grandchildren, you know that being a loving parent doesn't mean that you give everything that your child asks for. But good parents, they will do everything possible to give their children what they need. And this is what this is about. So prayer is about trust. It's about asking God to provide all that we need. And it's about giving God each day everything that we might face. But it's also about believing in miracles, believing that it can actually make a difference. And there's a lovely quote that some of you will know. It's quite famous by one of the archbishops, William Temple. He said, "When I pray, coincidences happen. But when I stop praying, the coincidences stop happening." I don't know if anybody can testify to that. When you pray, we pray expecting an answer, expecting God to respond. When we were preparing to come here, we prayed a lot about whether we should come and whether it was the right thing to do. And Alistair and I spent some time doing that. And before we knew it, coincidences started to happen. I don't know why we would be surprised about that. And things started to happen for Alistair, for his job. I thought, you know, maybe there'll be some kind of certainty around me coming here and then Alistair would have to work it out. But actually, Alistair was all sorted ages before me. And that's because coincidences started to happen, or maybe they weren't. Openings happened. Alistair happened to speak to the right person on the right day. Alistair happened to have a conversation on the phone with somebody. There happened to be an opportunity that a job opened up within Alistair's company at Stanmore Hospital. Never really happened before, but it happened. And then a door closed that puzzled us. Was that a coincidence? But it led to the right job for Alistair. And Alistair's in the right place now where he should be. Praise be to God. That's fantastic. They were coincidences, but maybe they weren't coincidences. So prayer is also about us having faith and trust. It's a faith-building exercise. Can you see why we have to ask in our prayer and why it's so important to our faith-building? It helps us to become excited, dynamic, active, godly people. It's important that we ask. And then the Bible tells us to pray in the name of Jesus. The Lord's Prayer instructs us to pray, "Thy will be done." Jesus says, "Ask for anything in my name and I will do it." Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? We should be doing that. But this is where it gets really interesting, where prayer becomes interesting, because it's not just about a selfish activity where we make demands on God. It's not a random, haphazard, just asking for things, but instead, it's something about us entering into a partnership with God, knowing that we're invited to influence God. And the Bible makes it quite clear that our prayers can do that. But we're also told to pray within his will. If we're going to do that, we need to know God well, if we're going to be able to pray within his will. Praying in the name of Jesus means that we've got to be consistent with his character and we've got to be aligned with his purposes. So prayer is a challenge. It's also about us prioritising God in our lives, knowing Jesus well enough so that when we can pray, it is actually in his name and in the things that he would hold dear and that he would love. And we need to be open to the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us. And we prayed that right at the end. Someone picked that out from the passage about the gift of the Holy Spirit. As we move towards Pentecost this week, it's so important that we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit to lead us, to intercede for us. This period of between Ascension Day and Pentecost, as we read the story of the life of Jesus, it's a waiting time for the church. I don't know if you really thought about this, but they could have done lots of things. They could have gone off and tried to sort things out and do things in their own power, but they didn't. They came together and they spent time praying as they waited. And I think that's a really interesting lesson that we could learn from them. And then they received power. So there was definitely a point of pausing and of waiting. And I think that's quite an interesting thing to reflect on. Romans says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." Wow, the Holy Spirit is here now. He's listening. And we have that access to the power of the Holy Spirit in our prayers. And he will pray for us. That's an amazing thing that is beyond our own physical ability to be able to pray in that way. These are prayers of power that we are encouraged to do, to invite the Holy Spirit into the situations that we're in and our prayer life. So how can we grow prayer life and asking? It's a few things that I'm briefly going to mention now just towards the end. I just wanted to share with you this story from Robert. I know some of you, like me, follow the LICC material, the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, and they've just been doing a series where they've had 40 days of 40 people sharing what a difference it makes to be disciples in their everyday places. And when I was preparing for this, Robert popped up on the day that I was preparing. And he's a really good example of somebody who just prioritises prayer in every part of his life. So Robert works at a petrol station, and when he drives to work, he prays. He asks God to bless his lips during his shift. As he goes into his workplace, he asks God that he might bless the customers that come in and the colleagues that he speaks to. And every shift, he welcomes God's Holy Spirit into the shop in the garage. It's a wonderful example, isn't it, of someone who prays every day and regularly. And he just gave an example that recently there's been some disruptive customers that had come in late at night, and he was quite frightened. You can imagine being in a petrol station late at night with disruptive people coming in. And he said at that point he just prayed, and then for some reason they just stopped and walked out of the shop. He was so encouraged by that answer to prayer. And the point of telling you this is that when bad news and danger came into Daniel's life, he didn't have to create a special way to pray, because he already had a prayerful pattern. It was there, it was part of his life. It was in his routine, and he just prayed. He used that situation to pray to God, and it made a difference. And he just did it naturally, it came to him naturally. And I think that's a real encouragement for us to prioritise prayer in our everyday situations that we go into. And we can all do that in our homes, in our workplaces, and in the places that we are in. Prayer can sometimes seem overwhelming. Where do you start? My suggestion would be start with what's in front of you. Pray for the people that you know, the places that you know, the issues that are in front of you. Get informed about the issues that you care about, that you're passionate about. Watch the news and pray through the news. And you can be really creative in this. For several years, I had a prayer board that I used to put pictures up on, memory joggers and things like that. I put newspaper clippings, friends' pictures, and I would use those. There's an example here, actually, that we've got from the BMS that you might like to take. Many of you know Laura Lee Lovering, who we support. You might like to take this and use this, pop this on your fridge. Just some creative ways that you can pray for people. And we have lots of organisations that we support. Use their prayer letters to pray. Sometimes prayer means that we've got to pour out our hearts to God. We've got to wrestle with him, with ideas and challenges. And that's absolutely fine. That's really good to be able to start with God. It's okay to wrestle in prayer. Another thing we can do is to meet with others. Praying with others, it's really helpful. It's encouraging. Just gave an example of praying in groups earlier on through Discovery. And we have our Wednesday prayer meeting on Zoom. Do join us. It's a really good hour that we really enjoy when we come to pray together. You're very welcome to come to that if you've not tried it. But praying with friends, I pray in a triplets. I've got two friends that I've prayed with for many years now, and we've still carried on doing it over Zoom since I've moved. But it's great to have a couple of people that you're really accountable to and that you can pray with. I found that really helpful. Praying with others can be encouraging. If you've never done it before, it can be really daunting. But just start with a friend or someone that you feel safe with to practice if you're a bit worried about it. Pete Gregg, in his book, encourages us to get indignant with God, and I found that really helpful. It's okay sometimes to have a good shout at God. It's very biblical, actually, to do that. The Psalms are full of this. God wants us to be ourselves when we pray to him. And then there's something about keeping on going and not giving up, persevering. Sometimes prayers can take years and years to be answered. I don't know if you've heard the traffic light idea of prayer. Sometimes God gives us a green light and it's a yes, go for it, that's good. Sometimes you get a red, no, this isn't going to be helpful. And sometimes you just get an orange light and you just need to wait. The verses that we read earlier are interesting in the Greek when it talks about asking. It's in a tense that is something called the active imperative, if you know anything about Greek. But basically, it's a constant, ongoing, something that never stops. So we're encouraged to keep on asking. Keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on seeking. Don't stop that. Keep going. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. It's something that never stops, but the door will be open to you. So asking God requires expectation. It requires faith and perseverance. And then finally, it's about being prepared to be changed. One of the truly amazing things about prayer is that as we enter honest, open conversations with God, as we come into his presence, as we begin to ask for things, it's a process that really starts to change us. And this is what Timothy Keller said. He said, ask, think, and trust. Ask, think, and trust. So let's pray together. Father God, we just want to thank you that through Jesus we have an amazing privilege that we can come before you and ask you to be involved in our lives, in our homes, in our communities and our wider world. Thank you that you allow us to share in your plan for the world, to join in. And for those of us that have been challenged today, help us to develop our prayer life. Help us this week to remember, to persevere, to think, and to trust in you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to help us to be people that pray and ask. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.